I'm back. 3CX users get a new international plan they didn't ask for. Waz, Elon, and others aim to stop Skynet. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the March 31st episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How have you been? It's been entirely too long. I'm in the yellow. Eyebrows are on fleek. How are you?
I am fantastic. I missed you guys like hell. I appreciate you and Matt Fox covering. I appreciate Slagle coming on. I appreciate the guests were phenomenal. And I'm a little jealous that we have our first groupie, and I wasn't on here when she came on. Shout out to Vicky Bruns, who did an amazing job on Tuesday's episode. But, you know, you guys held it down, and I appreciate that. Thank you, dude.
That's awesome. I actually was walking with Vicky in Chicago at the CompTIA event, and she's like, I listen to that all the time. It's great. Like, that should be like an industry standard. And I said, And I said, would you like an autograph? And she said, get away from me.
Right.
So I was trying to promote it just a little. No, too much.
That's the thing now. The bar is set. Now that I'm back, like, we really got to show up because now we have official groupies. So I'm going to do something that I know you've missed. Our banter article is about Apple and their VR goggles. Have you heard about this?
Do tell.
And I'm going to do something. That
I don't tell me how it's good.
No. These are not the Apple ones. These are the new Meta Quest Pro ones that I have to do an unboxing video.
You should have said these are not the Apple ones. These are the Apple ones over here.
Dude, I should have, right? Been like, bam. So, you know, and I know you missed me doing that stuff. But so this Apple article is wild. Apparently, they're having this internal turmoil where some of the people inside are saying, we don't need to make a VR headset. They're actually arguing, saying it's a question in search of a problem or a solution in search of a problem. Apple, in true Apple form, and I know you love for these Apple announcements, in true Apple form, the device is going to start at $3,000. For reference, I think this was $1,500 for the Meta Quest Pro. And that, you know, that's actually still pretty steep, but I have the original Oculus and I really love it. So why not? And I'm going to pretend to be productive with it. But apparently, you know, they're saying it acts more like an Apple Watch, than it does acting like a true VR Apple type experience. And they're saying they're not ready for it. I don't know. Would you buy an Apple branded VR headset?
You know, if you haven't tried a headset or a VR glasses in some capacity, do it. Make sure that you are being videoed as you do it. It is hilarious. Okay. It's awesome. But the question is, what is the longevity to that? And it's kind of like getting, you know what, bungee jumping is fun. If you haven't done bungee jumping, do it. I recommend it. It's awesome. You know what? You like it so much. The exhilaration, you get one installed. How many times are you going to use it? I mean, let's just be honest.
it's true. No, I'm with you 100%. I mean, we have the Oculus at home. My son has that. I have the we have the Gear VR. That was fun until the phone started overheating. I have the one from the Vive, the HTC Vive. No, not the Vive. I have the one from Steam, which is way overcomplicated. It is fun, but it becomes such a pain in the ass that, like, you don't end up using it. Right. And that's, you know, I hate wearing my glasses. So to sit here and put this on, and then there's a certain category of people that are nauseous with this stuff. And what I'm really excited about is, like, having virtual team meetings on this stuff, because you can connect the Oculus to your PC and then you get all of that. but I'm curious to see how the resolution is, how that works for coding. I don't know.
I don't know. On behalf of a lot of people out there, I can say absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely. I do not need anyone more virtual than what they're at right now. And right? Yes.
But I will truly admit, it is very much like ChatGPT, OpenAI. It is so many possibilities. We are looking for what the possible solution would be, right? And seeing what the problem is, what problems we can solve. I fully admit that. But MSPs, tell me what you like. Are you buying gear just like I do, just because it's fun? Or do you have an actual intended use before you make the purchase? Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Discord, and we'll talk about it. But for now, let's do the news.
Let's get into the news.
Our next story involves a voice over IP company and their software and an incident that occurred to them. However, prior to discussing that, I want to be public about I am the owner of a competitor software, competitor platform called OIT VoIP. The coverage we're going to do with our guests and Tony and I talking about the subject is going to be as completely unbiased as humanly possible. But I do feel it's fair to our audience to disclose I do own a VoIP company. It gives me a breadth of experience, but it also can lead to some unintentional biases when talking about a competitor. So we wanted to be clear about that, let you know up front out of respect to our audience. And our security story, the story that's taking the MSP world by storm, 3CX VoIP desktop application possibly compromised with command and control messages going out to unknown parties. On March 22nd, the first alerts went out. SentinelOne started alerting to the 3CX desktop application for Windows and Mac, and it was flagged a false alert. On March 29th, it happened again, and they also deemed it a false alert. This was from the SentinelOne vigilance team. However, upon closer inspection by CrowdStrike, by Huntress, by Sophos, and many other security researchers, it was actually found that it did include suspicious software that was doing calls out to unknown websites. We are showing the Huntress blog article because Huntress always comes with a breadth of information. And joining us to talk about this from the Huntress side is Sharon Martin at Huntress. How you doing, Sharon?
Well, I definitely have a lot of caffeine in my blood right now. We had a really long night last night.
I know I was messaging you and Andrew and others all day yesterday. I think your message and my message last night was somewhere. My last message from you was like 1 a.m. I started back up at like 4 and you were still responding. And John Hammond and others were in the Slack still responding. But this is like standard fare for you guys when like there's something major that happens. It's kind of like a, you know, Avengers assemble on the Huntress side and you all start jumping in and doing what you can, right?
That's correct. Though some events end up having more response than others. Essentially, we're working at it all night long. If we're still finding new information and we need to get information out to others. So one of the big things was we had a lot of folks asking us yesterday, like, hey, when's Huntress going to put out more information? We're like, hey, we actually want to make sure that we do an in-depth analysis before we just start putting out blog posts, because our whole point is we need to provide information to the community. We're not just going to do a blog post that everybody else has already done.
So here's my question. How many people are affected?
I mean, it depends on how you number it, right? 3CX themselves, they say they have over 600,000 customers, but that's customers. It doesn't number the end users. And again, these are the end users who are actually affected, who are running the app. So I don't really know how large that number is. You know, even within Huntress, we found a significant number of systems running the 3CX app, and a very good percentage of them had hashes that were correlated to versions that were then displaying the suspicious behavior.
So, you know, and you're absolutely right, we should go over this high level. 3CX is a voice over IP PBX platform, and IPBX that a lot of MSPs either self-host or they host up in the cloud. You know, there's a free version, makes it very, very popular, runs on Windows, which MSPs are used to. So just high level, it's a very easily installable application and server That makes a lot of things easy, honestly. It's a great piece of software. I've been 3CX Advanced certified since like V8, V9, something like that, and every iteration since. And the application we're talking about, because 3CX has multiple methods of communication, this is not affecting desk phones or any IP phones that are registering. This is not affecting their PWA app or progressive web app that they actually prefer to use. This is affecting the installable desktop app for Windows and Mac, which is an Electron-based app, which installs from the local 3CX instance using their MSI. And then it includes some configuration stuff that'll configure for the end user. We want to be clear about that because there's a lot that's been going on the last 48 hours, or not even 24 hours. There's been a lot of confusion. Sharon, do you have off the top of your head the version numbers? If not, I can grab them.
So the version numbers that we have are 18.12.407 and 18.12.416 for Windows. And then there's also 18.12.402, which is listed for Mac. But that's, I've seen more information coming in that there might be an additional version. But that seems to be changing, because initially when we were aware of it, we thought it was just version that was signed on March 13th, which was the 18.12.416. And then more information came to light that some older versions were affected. And that, is still evolving.
It is. And I want to bring to light, Sophos gave a lot of information, as did CrowdStrike. Go to the Huntress blog, because it has all the links and we'll include in the show notes below. Sophos was also mentioning Mac version 18.11.12.13. The point of it is, we don't have all the information. Like at this point, if you're on version 18 of 3CX standard, most experts at this point are just saying uninstall the app. Just get it off your system. Use PWA. I know that's not really the answer to any kind of incident response, but right now it kind of seems to be the only thing you can really do, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Because it gets more complex the more you look at it. Because of the 7-day essentially delay that before it becomes active adds additional malware stages. Some folks may not even be affected or have received the additional stages of the malware yet. And then fast forward when you do, it's still, there's a lot of unknowns about the capabilities of all the stages and just, kind of how deep that iceberg goes.
So let's focus on what we do know. What we do know for now, and again, constantly evolving, I can't iterate that enough. We're doing our best not to spread FUD. That is not the case. We want to tell what we know and what we think is possible. But as my understanding now, the application sits on your desktop, does its normal activities, and it's when the auto update service starts, that's when it starts doing these questionable things, right? Reaching out to these other websites. And that happens, it's staggered, but it's so far it's been around the 7-day mark, which is also 322, 329, kind of why it pops up like that. The DLL, the affected DLL is ffmpeg.dll. For those that don't know, will include, and actually ffmpeg just put out a Twitter remark on Thursday saying that this has nothing to do with them. They only release the source code and they release an exe version. Anybody using the DLL will compile it on their own and then distribute it with their software. And ffmpeg is in literally everything. If you have Teams, you have ffmpeg. It is a media converter commonly used to change formats and codecs and waved MP3 and so on and so forth. Super commonplace. But that is not the supply chain issue. It is not ffmpeg. I want to be very clear on that. We've checked that already ad nauseum at like 3 o'clock this morning. But so this ffmpeg, can you give us some of the details on what it's actually doing? I know there was a list of websites it was reaching out to, and there was a payload and an extra item, and they were both signed, right? That's the crazy part. Both applications were actually signed, one by 3CX, one by Microsoft. Can you give us some insight to that?
That's correct. So what we know is it's reaching out to these malicious sites, And then it's grabbing essentially some image type files that have more encoded information in them. This is where, again, it gets shady because this is further on stages, because kind of the first stage is, you know, after the 7 days, it's loading these malicious DLLs that are then following on with more malicious behavior. But the part that we haven't yet seen is what happens in the follow-on phase. And I think it varies on the system, but I know I've heard folks mention, well, there are potentially credential stealing capabilities, there are potentially other monitoring capabilities that could be loaded, but that's where it gets pretty shady. And I don't want to go too much further into that because, again, I can't actually personally confirm any of that multi-stage behavior beyond the initial reachbacks to grab more things.
Sharon, what's next? What's the next step? What should we be paying attention to on our platforms?
Well, I mean, 100% continue to pay attention to the vendor pages, right, for 3CX and what their updates are. Because I know we're going to see a lot more information in the coming days. And then I'm hoping that we and other security researchers are going to continue to uncover more functionality so we can provide even better information about, well, what does compromise mean? And how common was it that folks got the further stages of the payloads? And what exactly were the functionalities at that point in time?
Yeah, I'm deeply interested in this. This is, we report on malware, we report on security incidents, unfortunately, every episode of Dispatch. This is your second go around with us, and we greatly appreciate your experience and your knowledge on these subjects. But this is the first one I see that's like, we're waiting to see what actually happens with it. It's such a weird oddball event. So it makes it more interesting, in my opinion. Sharon, thank you so much. Sharon Martin, Threat Ops Capability Champion over at Huntress. Her LinkedIn is going to be below, so you can reach out, say hello. Sharon, thank you. I can't thank you enough for everything you and the rest of the
Thanks for having me on again. John Hammond is the real guy here with the cool, super awesome info. So I feel like I'm just a stand-in, but
No, you're a champion on your own. And actually we will call out, John Hammond already made a video about this, as did Tom Lawrence, both good friends of ours, good friends of the show. We'll link it below. This is one of those cases where you can't get enough information. Just soak it all in as much as you can. All of that's below. And then, we'll be in touch on the next one. You have a great one, Sharon.
You too. Hopefully it's a while before the next one.
Thanks, Sharon. Appreciate it.
All right, Tony, that 3CX stuff is a mouthful, but at least we have good news. We have AI, which is nothing but unicorns and rainbows, right?
It's flowing smooth. And in my first story, straight from Axios.com, AI is having a great pause debate. OpenAI's decision to temporarily pause the deployment of its latest AI language model, ChatGPT, has ignited a debate over the potential existential risks posed by artificial intelligence. While proponents argue that AI has the capacity to transform industries, streamline processes, and improve lives, critics are concerned about the unintended consequences of such advanced technology. The temporary halt to ChatGPT's release has fueled discussions about regulation, transparency, and the ethical considerations surrounding AI development. As artificial intelligence continues to advance, the need for a balanced approach that addresses both its potential benefits and challenges becomes increasingly clear. Ray, the more we look at this, the more I have so much hope that we survive. So, you thought it was kind of like, no. Because it is incredible. I use it for everything. And when I say everything, I want to be very clear. Some people have the misunderstanding, which is rightfully so, that this will replace the general correlation and intelligence of humans and make people not as smart. I agree with that concern 100%. I happen to use it for, give me an idea, prime the pump. Don't do the whole thing for me, but prime the pump, because that becomes the keystone to an avalanche of cerebral activity in my brain, and I can morph it. There are some lines that I really like. There's some ideas that I really like, but generally I'm going to change it. I don't know if that'll ever advance to being completely replaced, but that's how I use it personally. Are there reasonable reasons to pause going any further than we're currently at with ChatGPT and other Imali and a variety of other AI models out there right now that are producing some amazing stuff? Do you think this can go in a bad direction? Are the people that are causing this pause, do they have a rightful reason to do so?
I mean, I was making sure I wasn't muted. So, you know, I don't disagree in that we should examine the ethics behind this stuff before we start implementing it. That'd be fantastic. Internally in our organization, I have a rule. We don't do things until there's documentation on how to do them. That way we make sure the documents are good. In reality, though, we don't know what the possibilities are. We don't know what can be done. So I, like you, use ChatGPT and as a font of inspiration, right? I love saying, you know, give me an argument for this, for the opposite of what I'm arguing against, because now I can see all the challenge points and I can argue against it. It lets me, like you said, prime that pump. It lets me get those ideas flowing. And I love that. It does need guardrails. And the question is, it's like any other technology, right? If we said, okay, well, anybody can download Zimbra and host their own email server, right? But should you? ChatGPT is no different, right? We've had this conversation, on-prem Exchange versus hosted Exchange versus Microsoft 365 versus whatever. It's the same thing. So, you know, I agree, it needs to be examined by smart people. Absolutely. Am I ready to say stop using it right now because we're going down a bad path? No, not at all. I respect Woz. I respect some of the things Elon's done. I respect some of the other people in the group. I love that pause.
Processing. Now, in the milliseconds, the nanoseconds that occurred to people in the audience that are listening, you don't understand the rev of the engine, the cerebral engine, all the pistons. Let me qualify this
particular statement. Do I want to say that? How do I want to say that? Can I walk it back? Yeah, absolutely.
Can I unwind this in the event I say to you? I'm sorry. So yes, I keep going. I apologize. So you
were you hit the nail on the head. There's appropriate uses. We're still determining what the appropriate uses are. So in that case, if we don't even know how it's going to be used, how can we add guardrails to things we don't know yet? And in certain cases, we wouldn't tell people you can only paint these things. You give them a paintbrush, you give them paint, you give them a canvas, see what happens. And I think that's where we are with ChatGPT and OpenAI and all this AI stuff in general. It is blank canvas, paintbrushes, paints. Let's see what happens. I'm all for it.
I'm interested to see where this goes. The fact that the industry is putting a pause on it makes me feel good to some level. Like there's almost, what's that called? Intelligence, maybe some forethought to what's occurring. I know. Awkward to say that, but it does make me feel good to see that happening. So that being said, let's get into the notables.
In my first notable mention, introducing the new Microsoft Teams Now in Preview, written by Anupam Patnaik for Microsoft.com. Microsoft has launched a new preview version of their Teams desktop app for Windows. The new Teams app is built for speed, performance, flexibility, making it twice as fast and up to 50% less memory usage and 70% less disk space usage. Navigation has been optimized, prioritizing user interactions and enabling instant switching between chats, channels, and activities. Collaborating across organizational boundaries have been made easier, allowing users to be signed into multiple accounts simultaneously and receive notifications for all accounts. We will include links in the show notes below on the exact steps to enable it. Keep in mind, it is alpha. It is just in preview, not meant for public consumption yet.
And in my first notable mention, Microsoft Defender has mistakenly tagged URLs as malicious from bleepingcomputer.com. The issue, known as false positives, has led to an unnecessary blocking of legitimate websites from Microsoft Defender, the widely used antivirus software. This has caused an inconvenience for users and website owners. Microsoft is acknowledging the issue and is working on a fix. In the meantime, users can temporarily resolve the issue by adding the affected websites to their allowed list. The company urges users to exercise caution when adding websites to this list to avoid compromising security.
Hey y'all, Phil Buck here, back with another bite-sized installment of AI Roundup. This week from bleepingcomputer.com by Sergio Gatlan, Microsoft brings GPT-4-powered Security Copilot to incident response. Microsoft has announced Security Copilot, an AI-powered security analysis tool that leverages OpenAI's GPT-4 and a security-specific model to enhance incident response, threat hunting, and security reporting. The ChatGPT-like assistant adapts to enterprise environments, providing custom guidance by integrating data from Microsoft security tools like Sentinel, Defender, and Intune. Security Copilot aims to empower security teams to manage complex situations more efficiently, expediting threat intelligence analysis and reducing response time to incidents from hours or days to minutes. The AI power tool is currently in private preview. Microsoft has yet to announce when it will become publicly available. And speaking of GPT-powered tools, in case you missed it, be sure to check out Channel Programs incorporating OpenAI into Managed Services panel from last week's Channel Engage event. The full panel discussion covers the challenges and opportunities presented by OpenAI in the managed services industry. Panelists include Jason Slagle and Tom Lawrence, and it's moderated by our very own Ray Orsini. Visit and subscribe to Channel Programs YouTube channel to watch this video and browse their constantly growing library of content for MSPs, vendors, and other IT service providers. That's it for AI Roundup. I'm Phil Buck. Now back to Ray and Tony in the studio. And by the way, really glad to have you guys back.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. April 4th through the 5th, an in-person event, SMB Tech Fest Q2 in Anaheim, California. On April 5th at 12 p.m. Eastern, Build a Better MSP Discussion Group presented by Everything MSP. And on April 6th at 12 p.m. Eastern, April Channel Engage presented by The Channel Program. And coming from the MSP Media Network next week, we have... On April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, Connecting the Dots, a holistic approach to resolving network and SaaS issues. And on April 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 at 38, Episode 11 with Louis Lugo. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, you know the thing I'm going to say. Hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Do you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. All right, Tony. I know we do the news, but I got some VR fun to have. I don't know if I should be terrified of our overlord AI overlords or of 3CX phoning random, you know, websites and third party and, you know, other countries. Give me something good. Give me something to take me into the weekend that is good.
The your doorbell's ringing right now. That's FedEx that's delivering your new Apple.
Yes.
I think it's going to be an amazing weekend. It's so, so good to have you back. Matt is just sick of me calling him Other Ray. The guests were... the guests, everyone missed you. We have fanboys and girls out there that miss you. So it's glad to see you back, brother. And I think it's going to be a great weekend. I cannot wait for next week. And hopefully we'll have a good resolution to all of the 3CX fun that we just talked about.
Absolutely. You know, I will say it was fun. Now that I don't do the editorial reviews anymore, I get to watch the episode like everybody else. So I watch it like I watch 3838 AI Roundup. I just watch it in real time. You know, I love watching the live stream with the live chat during the episode premieres every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. But it is good to be back in the chair talking to you, my friend. It's I did miss this. So if you want to keep this party going, hit us up on the Discords and let's keep the party going. But until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
And here to talk about it, joining us again, is, bring her on, dude. There you go. So I'm like, what the hell happened? Okay. Sorry about that. I lost it for a second.
As artificial intelligence continues to advance, the need for a balanced approach that artificially, I'm going to repeat that last line. As artificial intelligence continues to advance, the need for a balanced approach that addresses both its potential benefits and challenges become one more time. I can't. As artificial intelligence continues to advance, the need to... Last time, hold on. Drinking my brain juice. Mm-hmm. That being said, let's jump into some other fun topics because there are like some notables? Things. We should probably... Let me redo that. There's notables.
I saw where you were going. I'm like,
I'm looking at the notes. I'm like, I don't see a three here. I'm scrolling up and down. I don't see a three. I don't see a three.
We're only doing two so we can do 3CX longer. Yeah.
I got it.
We have good news. We have AI, which is nothing but unicorns and rainbows, right?
It's flowing smooth.
you know that old man meme, the one with the technology where he's like, in my first notable mention, Microsoft Teams preview. My first notable mention, I don't know how to read a line. All right. Welcome back. The Teams app's built for speed, performance, flexibility. It's twice as fast, uses up to 50% less memory, and 70% less disk. That could have gone out a bad path. All right.